Hi, this is John Stone from 10,000 Blades, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM, streaming live at newhavenindependent.org. All the best of food and drink, a glass of wine, a smile, a wink. Don't have a cow, don't make a stink, it's Lucy in the kitchen sink.
Okay, hey New Haveners, and welcome back to another episode of Kitchen Sink. We are live today in the WNHH Community Radio studio, and I am so excited to be joined by Jill Meyerhoff. She's a Wellness and Education Outreach Manager at Cornell Scott Health Center, Mark Furla, who is a concerned citizen and Food Policy Council member for the New Haven Food Policy Council, and Billy Bromage, community organizer at CMHC or the Connecticut Mental Health Center, and a either member or affiliate member or super rad member at the New Haven Food Policy Council. And today we are talking about something that I get super excited about. I've known about it for like 2.5 to 3 years, I think, which is the Summer Meals program in New Haven. It's a very, very cool program. So welcome to all of you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Hey, thanks.
Hi, Lucy.
Thanks so much for coming on the air. And so we're going to jump right into it. We're going to talk about what the Summer Meals program is. But Billy, first, I want to address this term that, you know, we talk about and I think we throw around more now, but food insecurity. And I'm wondering if you can just give a really quick crash course for our listeners in food insecurity, what it is and who suffers from it in New Haven.
Sure. So food insecurity is really the simple thumbnail of it is it's either not having enough food in your house or not having enough money to buy food. It's measured by a number of different measures, mostly initiated by the USDA. And really it's just defining whether people have to make choices with their finances to choose other things or being forced into choosing other things, having to pay the rent or keep the lights on instead of having enough food in your house. In New Haven, we've got 22% food insecurity of our residents, and that's something that is spoken about a lot. I think the under the surface of that, in a lot of our lower income neighborhoods in New Haven, that number jumps to 35 or 40%. So that's a lot more households in neighborhoods where people are struggling financially. Recent data identified that in those neighborhoods, 50% of Hispanic households are experiencing food insecurity. So there are people that are facing food insecurity on a much deeper level than others in our community.
And then within that, and I'm throwing this out for anyone who wants to answer it, but within that matrix, then there's the question of kids. And specifically, kids who may be food insecure during the summer. So listeners may or may not know that during the school year, there are some sort of safeguards in place to see that kids aren't hungry. And they're not a panacea, but it's something. And then in the summer, that ends. So I'm wondering if one of you wants to address sort of that, and then we'll segue into how summer meals can help alleviate that that need.
I think you should handle that, Billy.
Okay, I'll take that. So in the school year, there's breakfast and lunch is provided for kids during the school year, and that becomes an important part of the equation of what we were talking about food insecurity. Families stretching resources, relying on that kids can eat twice a day, 5 days a week at school. Some schools have backpack programs. The Food Policy Council has made a strong effort to try to get suppers going in the schools. We'll talk about that probably a little later. We've struggled a bit with that, but we're really pushing hard to add that resource. But during the summer, that drops off. That the schools aren't there for as many kids, and things like SNAP get stretched. So the SNAP is the program that's known more colloquially as food stamps. Doesn't increase for families, so kids are around more. So the summer meals tries to address that kids can go out. Any kid 18 and under can go out, no questions asked, no paperwork required, go to a site and get food. The idea is that it addresses both their food needs, their health needs, but also the summer slide, that they're getting the nutrition they need during the year so that they're not showing back up at school having been undernourished all summer long.
And I think that's also, so I know we just said it, but I think there's a misconception of maybe who can use this program. So I want you to say just one more time, if you're under 18 and you are hungry, you're food insecure, you can take advantage of this program, which is huge.
Yes. And it you don't even have to be food insecure necessarily. You can just be at Lighthouse Park and you want a sandwich and a piece of fruit and some milk, and it's dinner time and the truck shows up or the bus shows up and you can just go get food. So part of it is to try to undo any kind of stigma that is associated with hunger and trying to get that off the table so that kids can just get something if they're hungry. They can just declare that they're hungry or that they're hungry in that moment just by showing up at one of the sites. And we've done our best to clear everything else out of the way that might inhibit them from doing that.
And actually, Mark, in your role as a community organizer, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more about that stigma, and then we'll talk about the mobile sites and sort of.
In the summer in particular, or?
In the summer in particular, but also, you know, kids are dealing with enough crap already. It's really hard to be a kid. And they're, you know, maybe they're getting bullying. Maybe they have the support they need at home. Maybe they don't. Maybe they live in a neighborhood where they feel safe. Maybe they don't. And so all of this falls under a huge umbrella of not only poverty, but sort of the tumultuous fact of growing up and growing older. And so I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, maybe some of the stigma that you've seen around hunger, especially with kids.
So I think what we've tried to build off of, and I'm not sure this is exactly an answer to your question, is the city, I'm going to use city, board of ed, public schools sort of interchangeably, although I recognize they're distinct institutions, did a really good thing a number of years ago, which was to basically make the entire school system available, free and reduced meals available to every kid in the school system. So that stigma is removed. You don't have somebody who has a ticket or somebody who doesn't or somebody's. And what we've tried to build on is that initial thought. And to make food available as broadly as possible in a number of interesting ways, right, as possible, and to integrate it into the community in a way that hopefully normalizes it. And so I think what the work that through the council and through the Summer Meals Working Group that I'm certainly the proudest of, is bringing in the community in a lot of ways as to where the sites are located. So there's three types of the summer schools all serve this, and you don't have to be going to summer school. You don't have to be participating in any of these programs to make it available. But so it's available in all the summer schools. Anyone who's running a camp of any sort can apply and have the meals available there. But where we've seen the most growth, and I think the most interesting thing, is through the mobile sites. The United Way donated a food truck of a sort to the school system a couple of years ago. And that's been so successful that First Student, I think, is the main one, has donated now a number of buses. So I think we have 5 mobile trucks that will be serving this. And that's, those just go where the kids are.
So let's get into this. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this live on Friday, June 23rd, tomorrow, June 24th, is Summer Meals Blitz Day. It's one of the best days of the year. If you're listening to this perhaps over the weekend or after the weekend, June 24th is still Summer Meals Blitz Day. That doesn't change. It begins at 9 a.m. at Gough Street Park. And I'm wondering if as we get into the mobile sites and actually how they operate, maybe Billy, if you can talk a little bit about what Summer Meals Blitz Day is, and sort of how people are thinking about getting the word into the communities.
Right. So Summer Meals Blitz, we started 4 years ago. It's something that happens around the state. It's something that is coordinated by End Hunger Connecticut, who's one of our strong partners, and that does statewide work with summer meals and anti-hunger work more generally. And so New Haven, we really started to organize around it 4 years ago. So this will be our fourth year. And the idea is we gather people from all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of involvement, either in anti-poverty work, anti-hunger work, or just generally in community work, from students to people whose job it is, who just want to volunteer. We've had a lot of support from the Black and Hispanic Caucus, New Haven Rising over the years. We'd go door to door across the entire city of New Haven, We have some literature that we give out door to door that informs people about ways they can find out about the meals that are happening. So that happens tomorrow. We meet at Gough Street Park at 9 o'clock in the morning. We have a few speeches to get us excited this year. We've got a student speaking and Taisha Walker, the board president, who's been very supportive of our work along with the other members of the Black and Hispanic Caucus. And then we've got Rosa DeLauro, who always gives a very fired up speech that kind of gets us out.
Yes, she does.
For anyone that's heard her, yeah, she's a big champion for hunger, and we're lucky to have her as our congresswoman. And then we go out, and then Mark will sort of galvanize everybody, get them organized in their groups, and we'll head out into neighborhoods all throughout the city in groups of three or four people and spread the word. So that happens from about 10 to 12. And it's been exciting. We've got a lot of energy from it. In the years we've been doing it, we've seen a huge increase in the number of kids that are going to the site. So we think it's certainly one factor in the getting the word out and making the program more accessible.
And I'm curious, you know, in those years, what kind of thing do you see? So last year I went out and I walked with James Kramer, who's now the head of Loaves and Fishes, mm-hmm. which is a great organization. And in walking with him, I was really sort of struck by two things. The first was fact that hunger and food insecurity can affect everybody. And so the people who came out for Summer Meals Blitz Day, Billy, you mentioned this a little bit. It was New Haven Rising. It was Unite Here. It was LGBT Youth Kickback from the Institute Library. It was Poetry Slam people. It was folks I had talked to in their high schools. It was kind of a wonderful meeting of worlds. But then also the couple parents who answered their doors, and then shop owners who James and his group spoke to, were really, really receptive. And for the most part, have you found that? Or have you found that sometimes people are a little bit wary? Like, who's this, you know, weird dude or weird gal who's coming up to my door and kind of pounding the pavement?
I mean, I think you in part who is participating, but also with the consistency with which we've done this, like the community sort of expects this now over the last 4 years. And my background is labor, although I don't do that anymore. But so, and we're an organized city, right? I mean, there's just lots and lots and lots of people who sometimes in a very niche way, but sometimes in a very broad way, are engaging with their either particular neighborhood or broader community. And so reaching out to those folks has been pretty successful, right? Kids cut across the spectrum, right? I mean, you know, I jokingly say, well, you must not care about kids if you don't want to participate in this, or, right, do you want hungry children? It's almost impossible to argue with. It is a little bit counterintuitive, right, that, like, any kid can go to one of these over 80 sites and get a meal. But that's the tricky part, usually. But people expect it now, and that, again, to that normalization, to that build on it, it's like, it allows the next conversation around, well, how could we do it differently, or how could we do it better, or how could we potentially address the quality of the food, right, and make improvements on that. It puts it right at the forefront of a lot of folks. So I that's the coalition, for lack of a better word. I mean, I think it's sort of the best example of what the Food Council has done, which does a lot of other really, really important good work. But I think it's also integrated sort of distinct populations within the community, right? Like, I just, you know, the Alders have been phenomenal, right? The Black and Hispanic Caucus in particular, because this is a federally administered program that goes through the public school system. And you need champions to cut through bureaucracy in this town. So, it's great. And we've seen huge success, right? I mean, the numbers have gone up and stayed up well over 30%, which is tens of thousands of meals.
Which, yeah, that's huge. So I want to talk about those 80 aforementioned sites. If you're just joining us, this is Kitchen Sink on WNHH Community Radio. That's 103.5 FM. Or you can join us at newhavenindependent.org. I'm your host, Lucy Gelman, and today I am talking summer meals, which is one of my favorite things, with Jill Meyerhoff. She's the Wellness and Education Outreach Manager at the Cornell Scott Health Center. Mark Furla, concerned citizen and member at the New Haven Food Policy Council. And Billy Bromage, who I've heard masquerades as Billy Bromage, community organizer at the Connecticut Mental Health Center and affiliate member at the New Haven Food Policy Council. So let's talk about these 80 sites, because that's huge. I mean, the number is huge, especially if you consider that New Haven, I know this fact from our mayor because she's very happy about saying it. New Haven is 18 square miles. It's 132,000 people, I believe. So 80
one of the smallest cities geographically in the entire country.
Yes. And so 80 is a huge number.
Yeah. So it breaks down into three categories. The summer schools. So as many summer schools and as long as those summer schools are open, camps. So the police athletic league, all the park and rec camps, a lot of private organizations and churches can, you know, there's some paperwork they need to fill out, but this is basically a free program. That's the other thing I think to stress, that
yes,
this is, although some people might take issue with that, this is federal money, and the reimbursement on the meals covers, for all intents and purposes, all costs, labor, distribution, all of it, the meals themselves. So the camps are another big one. And then the third is, which we've really been pushing and really, because it's sort of what we have the most control over, is these mobile sites. And so this year we'll have 5 trucks/buses, and we use the language interchangeably, that will each have a route. And they'll be either serving, the guidelines get a little tricky, but anyone can serve like 2 meals in a location. And what we've done is, by engaging the community and listening and using some of our own existing knowledge, is site those mobile trucks as efficiently as possible. So they're at all the splash pads, right? Because that's where kids are. They're at a lot of the playgrounds. Edgewood Park, for example, the old sundial. And we're constantly, it's in flux, right? Because there's, so like the Cherry Ann Street was in the new playground and park that has just been created, independent ransom stories on that. That didn't exist a month ago.
Right.
Right. And we're trying to figure out, okay, so how can we make that more effective? And I think it's important to throw a shout out to Gail Karen Sherry, who is, she runs the meals for the city. I don't know what her official title is.
Executive director?
Sure. and she's really been amazing, right? And she, this is something that's really important, and she handles sort of the scut work on the paperwork with the state, and has just shown an immense flexibility and willingness to get feedback from the community, because she doesn't have to take it, right?
Right.
So, but those are the 80 sites, and they run as long as those particular things are open. The longest running one is the mobile trucks. Those will run all summer, basically, from the 26th right up until, I think, the week before school starts.
August 18th.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Jill, so I want to bring you into this conversation. When we were off mic and you had arrived, we were talking a little bit about the fact that when you see the impact of this program, it's exciting. I'm a tutor at New Haven Reads. Occasionally during the summer, I'll see kids come in with their summer meals. They sit down. Their mood changes drastically as soon as they've had something to eat. I mean, it's huge, especially, you know, we know that kids can't work as well. They can't concentrate as well if they're hungry and they're growing. So I want to bring you in and talk specifically about what you've seen and sort of how the face of community outreach and organizing is changing. Mark, Billy, you can jump in too. But
so last year, I believe that at one of our New Haven Food Policy Council meetings, Mark and Billy were considering expanding the reach or expanding sites. And they asked if Cornell Scott Hill Health Center, at our main site on Columbus Avenue, if we could possibly become a site. You know, and we thought, why not? This would be a great place. We treat children. We treat the parents and everything. So why not feed them? We know that we have a lot of patients that are food insecure. So we figured it would be a perfect fit. And I know last year, just at our site alone, we served over 1,000 meals. And just seeing the kids chase the truck, come up to the truck, how happy they were. The parents were so grateful to to have the truck there, because a lot of them would be at the site having an appointment, you know, medical appointment, or in one of our departments. So it just seemed like a perfect fit.
Absolutely. And kind of, so I love the idea of the kids chasing the truck, because of course, when you put anything on wheels, it's that much more exciting to a child and probably to a grown up too. But what maybe are you expecting to see that's different this summer, or other than, I assume, exponential growth, because there's need. I mean, there's incredible need in the community.
So I'm expecting to see growth. The other thing that's happening that's great is the Connecticut Food Bank. They have a mobile pantry that goes out through the summer too, and they're at the sites the same time as the supper meal truck. So we're feeding the kids, but we're also feeding the parents. The parents can just get online and they're able to get free food as well. So we're feeding families. We're feeding a lot of families. We're helping with the shortness that they might have if they run out of money. Or don't have enough food at the end of the month, you know, to feed people. So I want to see more people. I want to see more people fed. I want to see more people happy. That's what this is all about, the community coming together to be able to do this.
And I'm curious where all of you, Jill, let's start with you, see this fitting within the, because there's sort of a network of organizations in New Haven that are trying to address food insecurity, both for kids and for their parents, or for adults who maybe don't have kids. There's the New Haven Land Trust, New Haven Farms. On a wider level, there's End Hunger Connecticut. And I want to give a shout out to Lucy Nolan, who's just really a fantastic ally. And we love her here and, I don't know, more globally. But so where do you all see that fitting in? And I guess also, where would you like to see it going? Because it's still relatively young, although it sounds like it's just grown by leaps and bounds. I know that's about five questions.
I have answers to all of them.
Do you want to go?
Well, she offered it to Jill.
Yeah, Jill.
So I think there's been so much more network going on between our organizations and the community. And I think as we continue to network and we pull all of our resources together and our ability together in the community, that's how we're going to make this grow. And that's how we're going to lessen food insecurity and make people feel more secure eating and being able to get food.
Yeah.
Right. So my hope 4 years ago in sort of taking on the working group from the council was to really use childhood hunger and this program in particular as a catalyst to drive the issue across the city, precisely because it's so hard to argue with. And I think with Cornell Scott and the participation of the food bank, Connecticut Food Bank in particular, last year, that was the first year we did that, those are organizations looking at the impact that this program is having and recognizing, because we're all on the council together, that they can achieve their mission in a better way. Well, there's a real value added to it, right? So the summer meals, we were getting a lot of feedback that there were a lot of families who were coming up and asking, right? Grandparents, parents, older siblings, whoever, caretakers. And it put they're the lunch ladies who serve this in a really awkward, painful spot, because they had to say, no, we can't give you food. And so the food bank said, well, okay, how can we play around with this? And they've, in a lot of ways, changed their model. So they serve in the evenings at our five busiest sites.
Mm-hmm.
And they were blown away. I mean, you should get Maria Markham on here sometime, or some of her programming folks, because it was this... you know, my language is just totally untapped need, unmet need. And so they've expanded that. Our hope, maybe we can talk about it at some point, is everything's really been volunteer over the last few years. And we went to the city just a couple of weeks ago and said, listen, we're sort of at our capacity. If you're serious about this, here's some things that you would need to integrate this into city government, whether it's through the health department, whether it's more through the schools. Jill and her organization are phenomenal. We haven't gotten the same attention from some of the other organizations, right? And as volunteers, it's hard to crack that. Our hope is that the city could, whether it's in Fairhaven or in many of the other neighborhoods, talk to some of the more institutional players and say, listen, if you guys can take childhood hunger off the table, right, using this program, then it allows a lot of the other organizations to address way more efficiently and accurately the adult population and to use services far more efficiently, because with everything we're seeing, there's just less and less money, and we don't need that duplication. So that's the hope going forward. The city has said that they are receptive to that. We intend to hold them to that.
And Billy, I want to let you jump in.
Well, yeah, I was just going to piggyback on what Mark was saying about that meeting we had with the mayor's cabinet. Mayor Harp invited us to talk to the department heads about the different ways that we saw them. We gave them a document that went over some of the food security data and listed a whole bunch of action items that they could take, mostly quickly achievable with a little bit of shift of focus. And I have to say, you know, Mayor Harp was really supportive of us. She seemed to really get why we're doing this and how expanding it and how bringing in partners from the city could really help to cement it. So that was a great meeting we had. And I have to just second the work of the food bank, because we did have a group of people from Southern Connecticut's School of Public Health last summer that did some research at the mobile sites. And we found out that a lot of the adults that were coming to the mobile sites had never or had very infrequently used a food pantry or soup kitchen or other ways that we tend to deliver food to adults in need in New Haven. So it was very interesting to find out that we had to create other ways of thinking about it so that people could feel comfortable getting what they needed.
And there is still a lot of stigma around using a food pantry, using a soup kitchen, sort of being seen in that soup kitchen line. So one thing I want to ask as our time is winding down, if you're just joining us, this is Kitchen Sink on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, streaming live at www.newhavenindependent.org. I'm Lucy Gelman, and I'm here with Jill Meyerhoff, Mark Furla, and Billy Bromage. We are talking summer meals. But one thing I want to ask is, you know, Mark, you've brought up the term federal funding, and those seem like big bad words right now. I think there's a little
not to
little,
a socialist.
there's a little bit of anxiety because I know certainly in the news business, like every time you refresh the page, something new is happening. Some new budget cut has been proposed, or some new roadblock to funding for people who are in poverty, who are food insecure, has been put up. And so is that sort of on your mind? Is that something that people are thinking about and talking about right now?
We're certainly cognizant of it. I think that the food bank, the folks, I'm really, at the end of the day, I'm a volunteer, right? So I'm not institutionally concerned about it, but many folks are. A lot of wealth in this city. There's a lot of institutional players who could potentially, arguably, do more with regard to helping the community, which we all live in together. So, we're aware of it, but I think the more successful it is at the local level and the more we're pulling people together around it, whatever the challenge is that comes down the road, we'll be far more able to deal with in an efficient and an effective manner.
And I just want to add that in terms of the cuts, you know, the summer meals program, the school food program, all of them are slightly different federal USDA programs that any cuts would really impact our ability to have an impact. But it's also important, like we talked about at the very top of the show, about food insecurity is really an issue of poverty. It's not its own standalone issue. It really has to do with just availability of money and resources to get what you need for your family on a daily basis. So it's also important to think about the cuts that might happen to Medicaid and Medicare as they go through this discussion in the Senate now about cutting and creating a new thing to replace the Affordable Care Act. It's really important to be aware of all of those things and I would argue to push back against them as people that are working in the anti-hunger world, to push back against any of these kind of cuts that are going to lead to people being not having as much resources. At the end of the day, that's going to increase food insecurity for adults and for kids. And then lead to all the downstream things that we talk about kids not being able to focus in school, and all the health issues that come along with not having enough to eat. So I think it's important to kind of put it in that context too.
And I want to, so our time is almost up, but I want to ask all of you, so people do listen to the show, not that many people, but we have our faithful audience of listeners. So if someone's out there and saying, okay, first of all, I know that I want to show up on June 24th at 9 a.m., I want to flyer a neighborhood of New Haven. I want to get involved in Summer Meals Blitz Day, or maybe I've been involved again. That's great. But what's maybe one or two things that someone listening to the show thinking, I want to help address food insecurity in New Haven, especially for kids, but also for adults. What's one or two things that they can do?
Push the Board of Ed and the next superintendent of schools to expand a supper program. The city's made some commitments over the last couple of years that are largely unmet to start an aggressive supper program. And I think it's just going to take sort of popular will to move that and to hold them accountable. I think that's the next frontier.
Yeah, and I'd also mention that we do have a food systems policy director. I have to remember that title, Joy Johannes, who coordinates a lot of this for the city, works in the Community Services Administration. I think contacting her, she's really a sort of liaison to all of this work. And so to find out from her which ways you might plug in, I think is really a great step. You can find her at City Hall. You can find her email on the city website. She's around in the community. Just keep your ears out if you're at any kind of food insecurity or food generally thing. Most of the time you're going to find Joy there. So I'd use her as a resource, and she's really connected to all the work we're doing, both on summer meals and food insecurity, but also all the other kind of food stuff we're doing in the city.
And if I could say one last thing.
Yes.
Summer meals begin June 27th, and they end August 18th. If you want to find a site near you, you can call 211, or you can text Connecticut Meals 877-877. If you'd like to find a mobile pantry near you, go onto the Connecticut Food Bank website. Everything will be listed there. So we hope to see you this summer, and we hope to help you eat better.
Absolutely. And then I would say to listeners, just keep your fingers on the pulse of the New Haven Food Policy Council, which I think is a very cool thing, and FOG, the Food Action Working Group. Billy, is that something, you know, if someone's interested in just learning more, can they come to Food Policy, or I should be asking Billy and Mark and Jill, all of you, can they come to Food Policy Council meetings and just say, you know, I want to hear what's going on in my neck of the woods?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. Those are they're where we meet. I'm not sure we have a standing meeting, but they're publicly noticed. We're a commission of the city. The other group of folks to reach out to stay in touch is the Alders have really done, they're very engaged, and we're going to see a bunch of them tomorrow. And then a lot of times in the neighborhood level, that's sort of the most immediately accessible person.
Yeah, and I should say, I reached out to an Alder yesterday at, I think, 2 p.m. and heard back by 2:30, so definitely,
that's
Billy,
great.
I see that you want to jump in.
I just wanted to address the Food Access Working Group. We do meet. We're open to the public. All the efforts and success we've had has really just been from people showing up and saying, I see this as a challenge. How can we work on this together over the years? And we meet the first Tuesday of every month at the United Way at 370 James Street in Fairhaven. On the fourth floor. Actually, in July, we're meeting on the 11th because the first Tuesday is July 4th. So we're going to kind of let everybody have fun and go to the beach or whatever they want to do. But other than that, we meet and on the first Tuesday at 12. And everybody's welcome to come. And, you know, we have some set agenda items, but we really move according to what sort of has energy and what people want to work on to address hunger.
Great. Well, I want to thank all of you so much for coming on. Jill Meyerhoff is a wellness education and outreach manager at Cornell Scott Hill Health Center. Mark Furla is a concerned citizen and New Haven Food Policy Council member. And Billy Bromage is a community organizer at the Connecticut Mental Health Center and a member of the New Haven Food Policy Council. Thank you all so much for coming on Kitchen Sink. And to listeners out there, as always, have a great weekend, wear sunscreen, and happy eating.